January 27th. A new work of art is highlighted each month, but each conversation is unique. A suggested donation of $10 per person is appreciated and supports the museum's educational programming. The event runs from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. The 2021 Arts KC Advocacy Workshop is presented by Arts KC, the Regional Arts Council. The event is on January 29th at 3 p.m. on Zoom. Learn about how you can become a fierce arts advocate, the legislative priorities for the arts in the Missouri Legislature, and hear directly from those who represent the region. The event is open to the public, but registration is required. More information can be found at artskc.org. The Arts KC Go Calendar is a partnership between Arts KC and KKFI in support of arts in our region. See the full calendar at kkfi.org/artskcgo.
Wednesday, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. So this is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd with you from noon to one. Today we've got a great group of guests on. We have Christine Boutros from the from the Charlotte Street Foundation, along with Kimmy Katata, also with the Charlotte Street Foundation. The second half of the program, we have Nick D. Douglas. So stick around and we'll be right back. All right, I guess let's do this. Let's get started here. Oh, Lord, this is a Wednesday. So happy to have you listening to us online or, you know, on your phone app, whatever you got. So thanks so much. As I mentioned, we have Christine Boutros, who's the Grants and Awards Programs Manager with Charlotte Street Foundation. Christine returns to Kansas City, to the Kansas City art community after serving, as Associate Curator of Education at Shangri-La Museum of Islamic Art, Culture, and Design. And Honolulu, Hawaii. All right, let's get rid of that music. Yikes.
How's it going, Maria?
It's like driving a semi. It wants to go this way. Oh, Lord. Also, again, as I mentioned, we have Kimmy Katata, who's an independent curator and arts educator. She was currently the Jeddah Family Foundation Curatorial Fellow at Charlotte Street Foundation. So they're both here with us on the line to talk about what's happening with Charlotte Street. And I want to say welcome to Kimmy and Christine.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks for having us.
You bet. You bet. I know that when we talked earlier that we were wanting to, Christine, I think we were wanting to talk with Kimmy first. And
yes.
So that she can tell us what's...
Kimmy?
Yes. So she's going to talk about a media project that's set for April and some other studio visits in that. So nice to meet you, Kimmy, over the phone.
Yes. Hi, Maria. Nice to meet you, too. How are you?
I'm great. There's a little bit of a glitch this morning, but life is good. Welcome to the Charlotte Street Foundation. We're happy to have you. What do you have to tell us? What information do you have to share?
Oh, well, I have been at Charlotte Street now for about 4 months and kind of getting my bearings in Kansas City. It's the first time I've lived in Kansas City, and I came from Los Angeles. So now I'm working on a new media project that's going to take place in April of 2021. Right now I'm kind of formulating it as an online and a live exhibition. So a lot of the works are going to be time-based media. That includes video and sound and performance art. And then hopefully we'll be able to do some outdoor performances that are socially distanced in Roanoke Park.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. And yeah. It's also going to feature, what, about 7 artists, that 3 are based in Kansas City, 4 in other cities?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I've had a really amazing time meeting so many artists and doing lots of studio visits in Kansas City. So I met Benjamin Rosenthal a couple months ago. He does a lot of video-based work, and he's collaborating with another artist, Eric Souther, to do this really exceptional video work that has to do with genderless bodies and kind of fragmented body parts and all of this really engaging visual work. And then I've also been working with Jeremy Zimmerman, who is a choreographer and dancer based in Kansas City, and she'll be doing a live performance. And Tristan Griffin is another choreographer based in Kansas City who's going to be doing a performance in the park space. And outside of Kansas City, I've been speaking with Maya Jeffries, who does some really, really phenomenal video work. And she's kind of interested in the ideas of seeing art without seeing. She does tours at the Guggenheim for low vision and blind patrons, and she does a verbal description. And so that's her video work. And Sholeh Askari is based in San Francisco. She has this really beautiful sound work. And lastly, Andre Terrell Jackson is going to contribute video work for this project.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm really excited about this. And this is called In My Own Skin, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's called In My Own Skin because I'm really thinking through the body and how we kind of inhabit the skin and the physicalness of the body, but also kind of looking beyond that and refusing a gender binary, just because sometimes I'm thinking about our gender identity and how that's tied to our bodies and how that does connect with your identity in different ways, and kind of unpacking those ideas.
I love that. So this is a time-based media project set for April 23rd through the 25th of this year, including sound, video, and performance artworks. Can we find more information about this at the website at Charlotte Street?
Soon, yes. Okay. I am working on getting up a page on the website for this upcoming program. We'll be kind of doing some teaser visuals along the way up, leading up until April. And then that weekend in April, all the video works and sound works will be live on the Charlotte Street website.
Wow, I love that. So some of this is taking place outdoors, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, which, you know, I think, you know, with the pandemic, of course, it certainly makes sense, but I think it's really thrilling to do something outdoors where it's you're not expected to be in a gallery space or an exhibition space or performance space. So this is really, truly, you know, exciting for us. And
yes, absolutely.
And April should be pretty good weather, I would think.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I have right now, I'm envisioning like a large outdoor screen where we'll be able to project some of the video work in the park space and then those dance works that will happen in the park space. So I really hope to open up kind of the idea of the public sphere and people walking along in the park might be able to catch it.
I like that. So it will take place both online as well as live performances. Is this something that's going to be archived so that, say you missed it, you know, a month ago or whatever, and you want to take a look? Is that going to be archived anywhere?
Yes, we'll archive it on the Charlotte Street website.
Good.
So we'll have documentation of those live performances recorded, and then we'll post them online so people can view them later on.
Beautiful. So we have that to look forward to. That's just one of the many things. Also, you're looking at some artist studio visits?
Yes, for sure. Yes. So I have a schedule where I'm happy to meet with any artist working in Kansas City in the area. So I have an email address that I created. It's studiovisits.kitada, K-I-T-A-D-A, @gmail.com. And anyone can email if they'd like to. And I usually look at an artist's website and portfolio of work and kind of provide any feedback or critiques or anything in a studio visit. So I'm totally open to meeting with anyone.
So this would also include either a short in-person visit or Zoom, right?
Yes, I have done some studio visits over Zoom. sometimes people are working out of their homes or might not have a chance to get to the studio as much. And so I've been doing Zoom meets as well as in person.
So let me ask you, Kimmy, what will you be looking for? What is sort of your criteria? What is your eye looking at when you do these studio visits?
Ooh, that's a good question. I like all types of media. I think because I trained more in performance art and I really gravitate towards performative works, but also I have worked more with painting, sculpture, installation, all different types of work. And I really look for a formal, like a strong kind of technical skill, but also like a good conceptual underpinning. So I think the ideas are really paramount. And so as long as you can kind of translate that idea into a material form, I'm really open to any form that takes.
Oh, great. So people shouldn't be just thinking of two-dimensional work. When you say artist studio visits, I think sometimes that's, you know, maybe what we think about is, you know, easels and paints and all of that. So it's also mm-hmm. performative.
Yes, all of it. Yeah, I'm completely open to the performative and the painting, sculpture, any of the craft-based media. I've seen a lot more, kind of more ceramic, quilting-type work recently, which has been exciting.
Wow. So what is your timeline on this? How soon do you want to begin?
Oh, with the studio visits, I can begin today.
well, come on down.
Yeah, I'm really exploring the Kansas City area, and so getting to go to all these different neighborhoods and areas of town to see different studios has been really inspiring for me.
Oh, good. And then this, is there a deadline? Are you going to be finished with the studio visits, say, mid-year, or will they go throughout 2021?
Oh, throughout the year. Okay. So it's kind of rolling that as soon as I hear from artists, I'll set up a visit, and then I'm just continually meeting new people and hearing about artists, so it's rolling.
Wow, that's exciting. That's really exciting. And again, for more information about that, the charlottestreet.org website will offer mm-hmm. you answers to any questions you might have. And I think there's a really nice write-up about you, too, as they introduce you to Kansas City and to the creative community here, Kimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Very good.
Yes. Yeah, there was just a write-up in KC Studio Magazine that I really loved, and I was really happy to do that.
Great. Is there anything that you want to mention? We're going to change gears and head over to Christine, but you can stay on the line with us if you like.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll do that.
I know the subwoofers are coming on at about 12:30, so that's where I would be. Just kidding. So thanks, Kimmy. And again, charlottestreet.org is the website for more information about that. And now we're going to talk to Christine Boutros, the Grants and Awards Programs Manager, Charlotte Street Foundation. And so happy to have you back here in Kansas City, Christine. We've had you on the phone the latter part of last year. But
right.
Yeah, so happy to have you. But we're going to talk about Cycle 3 for Rocket Relief Emergency Grants right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Maria, and sure. Thanks for having us both joining you today. So we are doing a third cycle for the Rocket Relief Emergency Grant for artists impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. And we currently have $110,000at launch as applications open this Friday. So if there are artists out there, both visual and performing, storytellers, you name it, get on our website, get on to charlottestreet.org. All the details and criteria are on there again, and also the call. And there is a link there that will take you straight to the CAFE system that is being utilized for the applications. And like I said, they open this Friday, January 29th. We should be... Sorry?
No, I was just going to ask a real quick question that if you have been awarded a Rocket Relief Emergency Grant already, mm-hmm. does that mean you can't apply for another?
That is right.
Okay.
So you are no longer eligible if you did receive a rocket relief grant last year, back in 2020, either in cycle one or cycle two. So it is only for those artists who have not received a rocket relief grant. It is, yet again, a $1,000 stipend. And we're hoping that each week we're looking at 10 artists to be selected. And we should be able to run, I would think, for at least 10 weeks. So we're looking at the last drawing happening on April 18th.
Okay.
It could potentially go a bit longer if we do raise additional funds. And, you know, we'll just let everyone know if that's the case.
Yeah. So for our listeners that are interested, all the criteria and guidelines will be listed at the website for the Rocket Relief Emergency Grant. And yeah, so this is cycle three. We're so grateful, you know, to Charlotte Street for this opportunity to help our creative community. I know it means a lot to so many people who are out of work or not on stage or performing and that sort of thing. So, yes, it makes a heck of a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're incredibly grateful to the Andy Warhol Foundation, who yet again has provided $60,000 of those funds, which means we will be postponing the Rocket Grant for this year. And we do hope that that will start up again in 2022. And also very grateful to be partnering yet again with the Spencer Museum of Art, who, you know, we do this together. They've, and they provide a great deal of support and administrative support as well. So, and, you know, if you want to know more or how you can help or contribute, you know, please, you know, get onto our website, and you'll also find a link there that will take you directly to how to help us as well and help the funds, increase the funds.
Terrific, terrific. And there's another segment that you wanted to talk about, Christine, Artist Reads.
Yes, so we are continuing with our monthly Artist Reads, first Wednesday of each month. And coming up in February 17th, we have Maria Vasquez Boyd.
You know, and I should have said that in full disclosure that, yes, I will be the next one up. But, you know, I love this idea that people have the opportunity to share their books and their ideas. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing that Charlotte Street came up with, this Artist Reads. So, yeah. What's coming up for the rest of the months?
Oh, right. So March 17th, we have Nika Cotton, a poet and writer, and she is focusing on a book called Nature and the Human Soul, Cultivating Wholeness and Community in a Fragmented World. April 21st, we have Nathaniel Bozarth, and he's chosen Black Panther, Book 6 and Book 7. So that should be fun. And May 19th, we have Yunmi Nam, and she's chosen also a graphic novel, a Korean one called Mums, that's been translated into English. So that should be a lot of fun too.
Wow, yeah.
We do have someone earmarked for June, but we'll get that out there soon enough once, you know, time rolls around, we'll be able to get the upcoming calendar for the rest of the year.
So how do folks join in on the Artist Reads?
Yeah, so we send out the event page or let everyone know a month ahead of time. So you've got a whole month to pick up the book and read it. We are trying to support some of our local bookstores here. So we've got Wise Blood on board. We also have Books, Bliss and Wine as well. So if you're wanting to participate, you can also purchase the book from the bookstores too. You just need to RSVP on our Eventbrite page for each month, and you will get the Zoom link, and you'll be able to Zoom right in from your living room and join us.
That sounds like fun. I think I'll wear my pajamas.
Yeah. And part of this as well is giving us an opportunity to start collecting for the Charlotte Street Foundation Library.
Yeah.
We, as well as, you know, collecting books, we're looking at programming in that space too. And we are, you know, happy to hear from all of you out there, any ideas and resources that you'd like to see in our library.
Ooh,
as
I like
well.
That.
So, yeah.
I like that. Now, physically, are you in the new space?
So we are still closed to the public. We are hoping perhaps sometime in the summer or early fall that we'll be able to open up and have a grand opening. So we still are not having people able to come in. We do have our studio residents in there, though. Okay. So they are able to access their studio. So on that front of things, we are open to them.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Christine. For Christine and Kimmy, is there anything left out that you want to mention at this time before we move on to some underwriting and all?
I was just going to say one thing I didn't mention about the Rocket Relief Grants. If artists are wanting more information about the application process, we do have an information session happening on February 9th. And information about that will come out on Friday as well.
Great. And again, that can be that information can be found on the website. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimmy, is there anything that you want to add to before we take off?
Oh, well, I just like to say thank you so much for having us.
Certainly.
I'm so pleased that we got to do this, and I want to thank you for your time.
Oh, you bet. You know, it's really for the community, because I'm just sort of like here running the board. But, you know, it's really important for our creative community and performers, actors, and musicians, artists, get this information, and or, you know, you can tell someone if you're not an artist yourself. So, yeah, we really appreciate the information. CharlotteStreet.org is the website, and we look forward to so many things happening for this year. It doesn't have to be as tough as it was, you know, the last 6 months or so, but looking forward to some really wonderful new programming and that. So thank you so much, Christine Boutros and Kimmy Katata, for joining us today. And hopefully we'll meet up again live, huh?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you, Maria. And
you
I look forward to seeing you on February 17th as well.
You bet. You bet. Well, thanks so much. And we're going to take a real quick break from ArtSpeak Radio after these messages.
KKFI offers you a challenge, a classical challenge. Every Wednesday from 9 to 11:30, we give you seldom heard and sometimes brand new classical music. Innovative, exciting, and always beautiful. The Classical Challenge, right after American Roots and before From Arc to Microchip. Wednesdays at 9 on KKFI.
Thanks for listening to KKFI. Be sure to like and follow your community radio station on social media at KKFI 901 FM. And thanks for 30 years of support.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes in a movie currently playing in cinemas or streaming.
Mank is a Netflix production starring Gary Oldman as Herman Mankiewicz, the Oscar winner for Best Screenwriter for the 1941 film Citizen Kane. This production about Mank is shot in black and white, capturing the aura of the 1930s and 40s in Hollywood movie making.
Mank is a dream project for filmmaker David Fincher, best known for modern classics like Fight Club and The Social Network. His father, Jack Fincher, wrote the screenplay that serves as a tribute to Mankiewicz, who was as noted for his wit as he was for his notorious behavior and alcoholism. It's a dark, warts-and-all Valentine to old Hollywood. You don't have to be a fan of Turner Classic Movies to love Mank, but it helps.
The dialogue is fast and quick-witted, with characters like Marion Davies, Randolph Hearst, Orson Welles, and Louis B. Mayer playing out Hollywood hypocrisy and politics.
The cinematography is glorious, and Fincher employs the unique camera angles and storytelling techniques that Orson Welles pioneered in Citizen Kane to tell this story.
Gary Oldman creates a vivid character, the court jester to these movie moguls. This film is a swirl of scenes and flashbacks with Mank as the thread running through them. There's a jazzy soundtrack, too. If you're a classic film fan, you'll enjoy this Netflix production more. If you're not a classic film fan, you may enjoy watching Oldman's performance, which is exceptional in creating an original personality.
Susan, I think that Mank is a shrewd, top-notch Hollywood biopic that crackles with great dialogue, and it's pure Oscar bait and one of the best films of the year. Mank and Citizen Kane would make a great double feature. I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
You're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We're transitioning to our second half of the hour where we just heard A Increíble Batería. Maestro Marco is the artist for that. Up next, you know, who's going to join us is one of our favorite people, contributors, Nick Douglas. Nick, are you there?
Hey, Maria, I'm here.
Yay. Hey, Nick is a musician hailing from Ferguson, Missouri, with a heart of talent and a creative mind. Nick Douglas brings an electric element to the collective song of humanity. Working as a professional musician for many years, he's performed with several Kansas City artists, both seasoned and up and coming, and fulfilling his ambitions to be and see diversity in the world. With an active community presence on local stages, Nick also maintains service in academia, providing the inner city with music instruction, and you can connect with Nick at nickdouglas.art. I'm so happy to have you, Nick. Yay.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, did you like that little piece?
I did like it. I was listening to it. I'm like, well, this is a nice way to get warmed up.
Yeah, it's kind of a song. But, you know, I want to ask, let me grab my sheet here. I have a couple of things I want to ask you before we launch into the music or the bits that you brought. When did you begin playing drums? What was the inspiration behind you picking up or wanting to pick up an instrument and play drums?
Well, once again, thanks for having me for the segment. I think to answer your question, I think it goes back to what my mom tells me. She said when I was a toddler, I would be sitting in the living room listening to whatever music she had playing, and I would be clapping in perfect time. And so just the stories are just about how it's essentially innate, this sense of rhythm and patterns that I have in time. I remember a story where my mom said that she bought me a set of bongos as, well, I was probably about 5, 6 years old, and I was playing them in a church service, and a lady came up to her, and she thought the lady was going to tell her, hey, can you tell your son to stop banging on those bongos? But the lady actually affirmed me and said to her, your son has a gift. Hmm. He's going to go far with that talent that he has. So it goes back to when I was a kid.
Wow. So did you take drum lessons, or was it kind of a school thing? Because I know back in the day where you would actually have band and orchestra programs, what was it for you?
Well, I remember this lady, she was kind of like a private tutor. She would come to my mom's, to our house in St. Louis, and she would show me different rudiments, like left, right, left, left, right, left, right, right, like all these sticking patterns to do. But that's the first memory I have of taking lessons. And that was probably when I was about around that age, 6, 7 or something. And then when I was in middle school, is when I was in band, middle school band, but I couldn't read music.
Hmm.
So the band teacher was like, hey, I'm sorry. He's talking to my mom. I'm sorry, ma'am, but I can't teach him at level. I'm just here to teach the kids the music. I can't teach them how to read music. So that kind of butted me out of that opportunity. But my mom put me into some private drum lessons, bought me a drum set. I was taking some private drum lessons, and I was learning to read rhythm music. And then that stopped after a while. And then I think I went to, when I was in high school, that's when I picked drum lessons back up. So around 2005, when I was a sophomore in high school, is when I recommitted to playing drums.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So during this time, as you know, as a budding musician and all, did you look at other drummers and other groups or rock and roll bands or blues or jazz? Who were some of the people that influenced you?
Well, so in 2005, that's when I recommitted to drums. And at that time, YouTube had just hit, and the internet was like, you know, like the YouTube was a thing, was like rising up. So every day after school, amidst like the funny videos I would watch, I would come home and I would start, as I got into drums more, I would start looking up these drum videos, like just people playing drums. So just a variety of just endless people I would watch play.
Mm.
But there's one person in particular who, when I saw him play, it was like the magic of playing drums hit me. Prior to seeing him play, I think drums was just like, okay, this is just something that I hit on. You know, I'm making noise, I'm doing these different patterns. But when I saw this guy play, I saw the magic of playing things at a certain time, and it just hit me. It was revelatory. And I remember I had my MySpace page, and I put this clip, which I sent the audio clip to you, but I put this video clip on my MySpace page because I love that video of this drummer performing so much.
So would you like me to play that clip? Is it Carter, let's see, Carter Beaufort?
Yes, it's Carter Beaufort.
Beaufort,
He played with Dave Matthews, and in this clip, it's just a short sound bite of him playing the song 41, number 41.
Okay, we're going to take a real quick listen. Nick, thank you for that. Thank you for sending us that clip. Yeah, so yeah. Let's talk about what it means to you. What spoke to you in that?
So in that clip, obviously I was looking at a video at the time, but when you see Carter Beaufort's drum set, it's this elaborate drum set with all these toms and all these cymbals and all these little percussion. You got timbales, you got these wood blocks, and everything you were hearing in that clip was him playing. Everything rhythm-wise was him playing, just sitting there in front of all these different drums and playing them. But I think what hit me was the dynamics, his ability to move limbs a certain way, and all of these elements just happening all at once, and then his hands are moving as fast as light, just to hit like a tom or do a feel with one hand while still doing something with another hand. So it was like, wow. So this, seeing him play, caused drums, like playing drums, the craft of playing drums, to go from just hitting stuff, just playing a cool beat, to seeing the potential of creating a moment, creating an experience for the listener, and being able to use your limbs and your faculties to do all these moves and sounds, and it's just amazing to me. So that watching him play was like when it hit me, like, this is what I want to do this.
You know, I often wonder, you know, like even within this clip, it's like, so how many people are playing percussion, but it's just truly him. And man, I mean, that's amazing. That's an amazing clip. So
yeah,
thank you for sharing with that with us. And then you have another that should, you want to talk about it?
Yes. Okay. So this clip is of a guy, a freelance drummer. He's like an independent guy. He plays with a ton of people. If you just go online, check him out, you'll find some of his stuff on YouTube. But his name is Rodney Holmes. Rodney Holmes. Watching this clip is what caused me to become a drum nerd, if you will. I just kind of dorked out. I was like, wow, this is what you can do on a drum? So I'll let you go ahead and play it.
Okay.
All right. Slow, do it slow, okay?
All right. Basic pattern came from like that. And there are usually like these bass drops that happen. And I tried to put them together. So taking the basic pattern, tried to put those two together, and I tried to add my own flavor to it to glue it together. So I came up with this.
Another amazing clip. You know, it's just astounding that such a talented person has that much energy and that much movement, you know, in a confined space. I love this. I really love this. Talk about that, would you?
For sure, yeah. Ronnie Holmes is the drummer. Basically, what's happening in this clip is he's having a drum clinic, and he's showing somebody in the audience as, how do you do this thing you're doing, this recording, you know? So he breaks it down. And essentially what's happening is with one of his hands, with his, I think his left hand, he's doing like a basic kind of translatable snare, hi-hat, bass drum beat. But with his right hand, he's doing a completely different pattern on the drum, on the toms and the cowbell. So what you have is kind of the best way I can explain it is by, you know, there's a musical term called a round. It's like when everybody's one person starts singing row, 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 and then the next person starts singing, then the next person starts singing. It's kind of like that effect. And then at the end, when the last, it's like life is but a dream, life is but a dream. It's kind of like that same effect that he's doing just between his two hands and his foot, you know. So it's just like, wow, you can do so much. There's this infinite possibilities when it comes to playing drums. I mean, music in general, but specifically drums, you could just do so many things to get so many different sounds and just have a type of masterpiece, orchestral masterpiece of rhythm.
yeah. Well said. Hey, Nick, we're going to take a real quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Art Speak Radio. Hang on the phone there, Nick.
Hi, I'm Jason Vivoni. Thursday afternoons, I host a program called The Boogie Bridge here at 90.1 FM KKFI. We play classic blues and blues-rooted music you might not hear anywhere else. And we'll give you some insight on the folks behind the songs. That's The Boogie Bridge, Thursdays, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., or stream the archive anytime at www.kkfi.org.
Thanks for listening to KKFI. Be sure to like and follow your community radio station on social media at KKFI 901 FM. And thanks for 30 years of support.
Welcome back to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and this is 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. On the line, I have one of our good friends, Nick D. Douglas. Hello, Nick.
Hey, what's going on?
You know, we put this together because as a tribute to some drummers that Nick is inspired by, and sort of some background about his experience as a drummer. My brother was a drummer, and I know that he liked to have a lot of different drums. And one of the things that he had was a rototom. And I had to go back and ask, I know, old school. I had to go back and ask my friend, Ken Eberhardt, you know, do they still play rototoms? And so he said, yeah. And we talked a little bit about drum corps and all that. And because, you know, I love a good drum corps, drum line and that sort of thing. How about you, Nick?
Yes, rototoms. I got acquainted with rototoms in, I think, like 2016, 17, when I was looking for some equipment for this reggae band I was playing in for a little bit. So, yeah, that's when I got acquainted with rototoms.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't know how obsolete or if they were, because I know, you know, technology changes so much around us, and including musical instruments and all that. So I, again, talking about, you know, drum kits and all that, it's, to me, it's like having a number of tubes of paint in different shades, different colors. I know you can mix and match and kind of do different things, but to me, it's like that palette is set before you with the drum kit. Is that right? Do you think? Yeah.
Yeah, having this type of blank canvas before you, and then in your practice times, you have exercises you do to kind of get your body acclimated to different movements and things like that. And you listen to music, you study music, you try different patterns. But when it comes to that blank canvas, that's when you allow for your imagination to express itself through all the practicing and exercises that you've done. And you add different sounds, textures, what have you. It's some serious stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing that we didn't talk about that I just want to ask your opinion. Why do we see more men drummers and maybe less women drummers? I know that they're out there, and I kind of Googled a list of them, but what do you think that why is that, Nick? Just in your estimation?
I think the reason that there are more men drummers than women drummers, I'm just going to go off of the evolutionary theory. Like, beating things is typically a masculine thing to do. In reality, I mean, I'm guessing that's just socially stereotyped.
Yeah.
So it's loud, it's obnoxious, and those are characteristics, this trait of the male species, you know. But in reality, a craft is a craft.
Yeah,
and it takes a lot of intelligence, especially to play a rhythm instrument musically. It takes intellect for sure. Regardless of your sex or whatever, it's definitely... like, if you love this craft, if you're attracted to playing songs, you should definitely do it, regardless of you're male, female, whatever. You know, that's what I have to say.
That's
my quick answer.
That's a good answer. You know, besides drums, are there other instruments that you play, Nick?
Yes, I play bass guitar. I play acoustic guitar. I sing, and I play a little bit of piano as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Are there some projects that you're working on currently that we'll be looking forward to hearing sometime soon?
Yes. My personal projects, just be on the lookout. I would definitely check me out on social media and... follow me, shoot me a message, make contact with me for sure. Right now, I'm doing a lot of recording session work with good friends of mine. We're getting their projects off the ground. I'm laying down drum tracks for them. And it's just a particular angle that I'm looking to sharpen myself in to prep myself for my own projects before I put them out. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, be on the lookout. Hit me up on social media.
Yeah. You know what? The other thing I wanted to ask you, so you also teach percussion, right?
I do teach, yes.
How often are you teaching, and is it, does it feed your soul in terms of showing your craft to someone, to a younger generation?
Yes, it does. It does feed my soul. It definitely does. There's a lot of joy that happens in that transaction. A lot of character building that happens for both parties. Traditionally we refer to teachers as teachers because that's just, and students as students because of, that's just the academic system and language that we speak.
Sure.
However, I see it as two humans interacting with each other, you know. So regardless of where or house seasons or where this person is in their journey, characters, spirits are interacting with each other in those moments of music lessons. And so I think your first question was how often do I teach? So often I'm usually teaching on Wednesdays. It's like a weekly basis.
Okay. Okay.
As you see the school semesters, those blocks, I'm teaching online, kind of like, it depends on the day, you know, but
yeah, I like that. So what advice, or do you have advice for future drummers or someone that's kind of considering, oh, you know, I might want to take up percussion or the drums or something. What advice do you have for someone who's sort of considering that?
Okay, so my biggest piece of advice is do what's in your heart. The heart, in my worldview, the heart is a reference point of the universe. So what that basically means is in all the things that's happening in the world and the universe, some degree has to defer to what you want to do before it makes a decision, before it makes a move. And so it's important to do what's in your heart. So when it comes to playing any instrument, if you want to do that, make that choice and go head on into it. Because essentially what's in your heart will be in your life. So you'll see what I mean. You just have to experience it for yourself. But be encouraged. I remember when I had just started going to UMKC and I was kind of having some, just going through that whole style of figuring out what I want to do in life, career-wise, and purpose and all that. And I remember coming upon an interview with a female drummer named Cindy Blackman Santana. That's the wife of Santana.
Mm-hmm.
So she plays drums. She's playing drums with Lenny Kravitz and a whole bunch of people. She's a product of, I think she's a protege of Tony Williams, even, who's a legendary jazz drummer. Anyway, so I'm watching this interview, and she says, I had to choose, the choice was on the table to become a lawyer or a drummer. And it's like being a lawyer, at least in my family, was like highly esteemed, highly praised.
Sure.
Like, you want to be a lawyer, be a lawyer. Like, that's great. You know, we watch all the court TV shows and everything like that, so it was like, wow. But the fact that she chose drumming, somebody of that caliber and stature who's made it in the career, she made that, she was vulnerable and shared that information with me, encouraged me to have confidence in my choosing this craft. There's substance in choosing, for one, doing what's in your heart. But when you choose a certain, when you make that choice and make that choice your business, there's another wonder that's expressed. So that's my encouragement to those who want to start playing drums or any instrument, really, is be true to what's in your heart.
I believe that. Very good advice. Very good advice. Hey, Nick, for folks who want more information about you, social platforms or medias that they can find you at?
Hit me up. I'm usually on Instagram. You can find me there at Nick Douglas. .art. You can check me out on Facebook as well. Shoot me a message or whatnot. You can hit me on, I think my page is nd.a. And I'd love to hear from you guys and share some stories.
Yeah, and you know, we talked earlier, I guess maybe last night or whatever, about maybe doing a second part to this, because this is something that I love, is to hear musicians talk, because oftentimes you see them on stage, they're moving, they're playing, they're performing, and you really don't get to have a one-on-one conversation with them, especially when it comes to music, especially when it comes to an instrument that they're so passionate about and that they've played for a number of years. So, you know, thank you for this opportunity. And we're going to do this again, maybe, who knows, down the road.
We will.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe spend a full hour doing this, because you know, it's really important to inspire and encourage people to find their passion and find, you know, something that really feeds their soul. Any last words for us, Nick, before we head out?
Do what's in your heart. Do what makes you come alive.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that looks like. It's, you know, music, art, politics, law, just even working at serving the community, whatever it is, whatever capacity, do what makes you come alive, because in that process of doing, you become, your character develops, you grow as an individual. So put your energy into that for sure.
Really good. Good advice. Thank you, Nick. You know, we're going to close out here because I do want to have a song on tap. Si Estamos Juntos, Sting. This also was sort of a tribute to my brother, and he was a huge Sting fan, but he was also a musician. So, you know, it was like I love drums, not just because of him, but because it really feels like your pulse, your heartbeat, your soul, you know? And I found that out early. This is a funny story. I found that out early when the American Royal used to have parades here in Kansas City. So it was like horses and, you know, different bands from different high schools and all that. But I tell you what really got my attention were the drums, you know, as they paraded down the street and they're playing. It's like I could just feel my heart and my chest beat along with them. And it's like, man, that is so awesome. So that's my story.
Awesome.
Although I ended up playing violin. But, you know, Nick, we're going to have you back, I promise, before the year's end. And we'll do this on a much bigger scale, shall we?
For sure. It's such a huge thing what you're doing to be able to get into the mind of the performers. So thank you so much for having me.
You bet. And we're going to hear back from you soon. But love you, Nick. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Mm-hmm. I also want to thank Christine Boutros and Kimmy Katata for joining us earlier. And next week, February 3rd, we're into February, working on getting TJ Templeton over here on the phone with us. And I want to invite you to stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz Afternoon, followed by Old G's Hangout. And then we have American Roots. And, oh, wait a minute. I think we have Ebony's Bones and then American Roots. So, yeah, don't go anywhere. Just tune in to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And you can find podcasts of the show that are posted at kkfi.org. So, hey, I want to say thank you for listening. And we're going to hear a little bit of more music. Honey, I'm coming home.